Thank you for tuning in to the Bethel Podcast. At Bethel, we're all about relationship. So if you're in the Phoenix area, we'd like to invite you to one of our services. Please visit BethelChandler.com for more information. Now stay tuned for a message from Pastor Mike Gowans.
Who's a hero today? Come on! Well, if you don't feel like a hero, hopefully on your way out you will, or at least be challenged to pursue being a hero, because it's what God wants for your life. Do you know that God's plan for you is to be a hero?
Amen.
That's His plan for you. Whether you will discover it and obey it, He leaves that up to you. But God doesn't make any junk. God makes things on purpose, and He has a purpose for every one of us in this room. And I hope that you will discover even more of that, because when you do, oh, it'll stir your hope. You can't help. When God lets you in on a little bit of His plan, it stirs all kinds of hope that can lead you to great faith. In fact, that's one of the incredible things about prophecy. Is prophecy brings hope. And prophecy brings several things. One, it demonstrates the power of God. It also says, I am known. That I am known by God. God knows me. I value to God. And it says you have significance. That God has a plan and a purpose. You were made on purpose for a purpose. And one of those purposes, church, is you have been called to be a hero. So why don't you turn to your neighbor and say, you're a hero.
You're a hero.
Now turn to your other neighbor and say, you're a hero.
You're a hero.
And now that you've heard that spoken over you, you say this with me as one who believes it. Say, I am a hero. Ready? One, two, three. I am a hero. All right. So turn your Bibles to Joshua chapter 1. Today, we are going to look at two characters, one in the Bible, Joshua, and another one in the past 200 years, a modern-day hero of the faith. And so I will leave that as a mystery into the end as I talk about him. I wrap this up. I sandwich this message with these two heroes. So that's what we're going to do this summer. If you weren't here a couple weeks ago when I kind of gave a little preview of what we're doing this summer we are having this sermon series called Heroes. And we're going to be looking at a character in the Bible, a man or a woman, and we're going to be looking at how they believed God and they did heroic things. And then we're going to look at somebody who in the last 200 years has believed God, trusted God, and done heroic things, and hope to spur every one of us to believe God to do heroic things in our lifetime. Because again, I can't say it enough, that is God's destiny for you. And if you are not living heroically, you don't know what it really means to live. Because it's the ultimate life that He's called us to. He's called us to live heroically. And if we're going to be heroes, we're going to need this virtue, this attribute. It's called courage. It's called courage. And we're going to look at the story of Joshua. Now, as you're turning there to Joshua chapter 1, let me again, I can't say this enough, that behind every hero, real hero, is Jesus. Every story in the Bible, Jesus is the true hero, okay? He's the hero of heroes. Yet, He chooses to work through us to do heroic things. Just because Jesus is the hero, we can't use that as the excuse not to do heroic things, not to live like a hero. In fact, you know it. I mean, I think it's why so many men play video games. Because there's something inside of them. And ladies, if you play, that's cool too, you know, but In a video game, you get to be the hero. You get to at least try to. There's some kind of adventure in it, right? And so you're literally trying to meet a legitimate need that God put inside of you, illegitimately playing video games. There's actually a real life that He has for you and I to live and do greater things that can be done in that video game. Actually have the power of God, resurrection power, flow out of you, bring heaven to earth. Amen? There's just, you know it. Like you just, oh, I know I was created for something greater. You were. That feeling, don't bury it. Let it out. Come to God. He's got superpowers. There are superpowers available for all of His sons and daughters. I mean, everything else. I mean, think about this summer, the biggest blockbusters. What are they going to... are you even showing movies this summer? Hopefully, you know. It's superheroes. Why? Why is it? Why are all the blockbusters? Why is it? Because there's something in us that knows we're created for something greater. It's true. Joshua chapter 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them. To the Israelites, I will give you every place where you set your foot. As I promised Moses, your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, from the great river Euphrates and all the Hittite country into the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, I so will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your words. Lord, we thank you for your instructions and for your commands. Lord, you've called us to be strong and courageous. God, you created us to do something significant. Our life matters. Lord, you want to move through us. Jesus, you came 2,000 years ago and you showed us what a true superhero looked like. And you said, it's better that I go so I can have some more superheroes. It's better that I go. So, Jesus, here we are. Here we are. Use us. Pour out your spirit today. Pour out your power today. Oh, break lies. Break insecurities. Bust through the fear, the guilt, the condemnation. Lord, everything tying us down from really flying. Oh, God, you want us to soar in this life. You want us. To do more than leap over tall buildings. You want us to lead people to heaven, to eternity with you. Eternal life. Holy Spirit, anoint me. Holy Spirit, open eyes and ears today to receive truth that will set people free. Those that feel grounded, those that feel like a plane that's been grounded, Lord, would be lifted up today. They would be encouraged today. They would leave full of courage. courage in Jesus' name. Amen. What is courage? Well, the dictionary says it's the quality of mind or spirit that enables a person to face difficulty, danger, pain, etc., without fear and bravery. It says it's the heart, or the heart is the source of emotion or strength. So it comes from the heart. Courage comes from the heart. In fact, in the Latin, the word courage, cur, C-O-R, actually means the heart, from the heart. Now, wait a second. I thought the Bible says the heart of man is deceitful and wicked, right? It's true. This is why Jesus came, to give us a new heart. But just because you don't have a new heart yet doesn't mean you can't do something courageous. It just means you're doing it for yourself. You're being courageous ultimately for yourself and not for God. And you can, and people do. We were created, all of us, in God's image. So we can all do good things. Hallelujah. But Jesus came so that all the bad things that we've done that hinder us, all the condemnation, all the doubt, all the fear, all of those things could be removed. And the consequences to our bad decisions would not affect how we live in this life. Do you understand that? Do you understand your sin can be forgiven? There's an enemy that's still at work. Okay, he's an enemy, and he's fighting against you. But God is not holding your sin against you. It's not weighing you down. He's absorbed it. God is not angry at you if you're a son or daughter of God. He's not angry. I know that's hard to believe, and you go, well, that's not what I've heard. Well, I'm telling you the truth. Perfect love casts out all fear. Jesus went to the cross because God loved us, and Jesus absorbed the just anger that sin deserved. And it wasn't like God's so angry at the world that he sent his son. That's not what it says, does it? It says God so loved the world he sent his son. See, some of us teach and preach, well, God is so angry at the world he sent his son to die an angry death on the cross. You've missed the whole story if you believe that junk.
Pastor Mike, preach.
Look, you want God to be angry. You want God to be angry when a woman gets raped. You should get angry. When a child gets abused, somebody needs to get angry. In fact, until you get angry, you won't do something about it. God hates sin, not people. He hates sin because it hurts people. But this idea that God's angry at people, no, he's angry at sin that hurts people. And so he came into the world because he loved the world. He loved the world. That he came so that the righteous anger that sin deserves. I mean, come on, when you see somebody being abused and taken advantage of, you get angry. Why? Because it's not right. It's not just. And so Jesus came to absorb the sins of the world, to take that on so that justice would be met. Do you know that when we sin, there, you know, look, the other world religions get this. They have no answer to this. You will reap what you sow. Reincarnation is you just coming back and paying for your bad behavior in the other life. You know, as a Muslim, If you dishonor your dad and you come back and you repent and you say you're sorry, do you know there's no forgiveness in their religion? There's nothing there. Like, you're disowned. You might be able to come back in the house, but you will be shamed and guilted, and like there's no removal of that. Christianity is the answer to the world. God wishes for none to perish, but all to come to know you. This is the heart of God. He's not trying to make it hard. I mean, he paid the price. It's done. It's finished. The gift is available to all those who will believe. And when you open the gift and you have your life transformed, it changes you. It changes you. Those that knew me before I came to Jesus will tell you I'm a totally different person today. Let me ask you this question. Are you a totally different person today than you were before you came to Jesus? If you're not, then you better make sure you've come to Jesus. Because he doesn't leave you the same. And if you haven't come to Jesus yet, you're in the right place to do it. In fact, like I say all the time, if you're running from God today and you're here, you're not doing a really good job, okay? Joshua, be strong and courageous. Why? Because there's giants in the land. Why? Because there's potential death. You know, courage is not the absence of fear, but rather the decision that something or someone is more important. Courage is not the absence of fear, but rather the decision that someone or something is more important. In fact, if there's not fear and anxiety and giants and resistance, you don't need courage. Courage is a virtue and a strength of, in the midst of fear, in the midst of this could go sideways, this could not work out the way I am believing and hoping it to. If that's not a possibility, then you really don't need courage. It's when fear's all around, and yet still you believe, and you trust, and you move forward. You know, David, I love David and the story of David and Goliath. I mean, there was fear everywhere. This is why, let me encourage you, when there's fear around, take it on immediately. Do not hesitate. Because the devil does not play fair. And he wants in. He wants in. You must take it on. I remember this time I was called. My wife and I, we were ministering in Nashville, Tennessee. And I was given the responsibility to get us a campus ministry at Vanderbilt University where they were not allowing outside ministries there. So I chose to join the seminary, right? I signed up and I got on. I got on campus. And I remember all the intimidating religious spirits and there on that campus. And I could feel the fear as I was walking around. And it was an evening and there weren't too many people around. And I just walked down on the campus and I said, "Devil! I am not leaving! But you are." And I just start crying out to God, going, "God, I'm afraid. Help me." Right? I mean, fear was all around. It's around all the time. But you have to be courageous. You have to overcome it. You have to risk. Do you know faith is risky? It's risky. But it's the life he's called us to. Do you know every time I pray for somebody, there's a risk that it doesn't get answered the way I prayed it. But it must be taken. See, don't pray prayers that aren't risky. You've got to pray for something you know you're praying for, not this vague stuff. That's not prayer. If you don't know what the will of God is, ask Him. See, you can't. Faith begins when the will of God is known. Faith begins when the will of God is known. How do you know what the will of God is? You get in the Word. The Word of God is. And when in doubt, this is how I pray. Okay, I don't know. I don't have a Bible verse. And I don't even know if there's a situation that I don't have a Bible verse for. But let's say there was. Then all I go is go, okay, what is it like in heaven? So imagine you don't have a Bible verse for sickness. Even though we've got plenty, I'll give them to you if you need them. Okay? Let me give you one right now. Psalm 103. Forget not all His benefits. Forget not, church. All His benefits. He forgives all of your sins, which is the greatest miracle. And the most difficult thing to ever happen in any of your lives is God forgive your sins. Everything else is super easy. That was the most difficult thing. That was the thing keeping you from heaven. And He took care of it. If you believe that, then you should believe the next benefit you have should be easy. It says, forget not all His benefits. He forgives all of your sins and heals all of your sicknesses. Oh. Guess what? If you look up in the Hebrew all, do you know what all means? Yeah. You're a Hebrew scholar today. It means all. Yeah, but what? I don't know all of the other things. I don't know. I don't even entertain that. But when in doubt, in heaven there's no sickness. So I'm going to pray because Jesus said, pray, my will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. So when in doubt, just think, is this in heaven? Is there sickness in heaven? Is there debt in heaven? Is there strife in heaven? Is there a lack of peace in heaven? No. There you go. I just gave you a lesson on how to know the will of God. Know what's in heaven. Everything that's good, everything that's lovely, everything that's pure. And I said, well, what if you're praying for a job that it's not what God wants? Guess what? He won't give it to you. But what I do know is if there is a job God wants to give you and He has called you to pray for it and knock on the door and believe and receive it, you may not get it because you didn't believe and you didn't ask. Because Jesus said, you have not because you ask not. So if you're going to err on asking and believing when you ask. See, so many times people pray and they're like, but God, if you don't do this, but no, but. Now you've just let unbelief into your prayer. And what does James say about that? You shouldn't expect to receive anything. You're double-minded. I'm not saying that. James, Jesus' brother, said that, inspired by the Holy Spirit. I'm just repeating it. Stop being double-minded. And believe and receive it. And just give Him thanks for it. Wait on it. We wait on God. He is faithful. And true. God is faithful and every man's a liar. The word of God is true. Okay, 5 reasons you should be encouraged today and not discouraged. Number 1, because God Himself is with us. God Himself is with us. 2 Chronicles 13:12 says, God is with us. He is our leader. Okay, boom. Number 2. Because God has a plan for us. God has a plan. This is why you should be encouraged. Because God's plans are good for His sons and daughters. Not bad. To give us a hope and a future. Our God is a rewarder. Our God is a good God. He is a Father of lights. He's building a mansion for you in heaven. He has plans for you here on earth. He planted you in a family. Maybe you didn't have a family. Maybe you had a jacked up family. Well, welcome to another jacked up family that's been saved. Hallelujah. And we're having fun together. The whole mess of us. But you know what? We're a family that absorbs sin. We're not easily offended. And even if somebody is easily offended, we won't get offended by their easily offensiveness. Somebody's got to be the mature one. Somebody's got to act like the Christian. Somebody's got to be it. Do you know if you have unforgiveness in your life right now, you are currently living in sin? He's already forgiven you. Why can't you forgive them? And trust me, nobody will ever do to you more than you've already done to God. So if you're struggling to forgive somebody else, stop trying to forgive them. Take a moment, get before God, and let Him forgive you. Receive His forgiveness for your pride, your selfishness, the lust of your flesh, the lust of your eyes. Receive it. He's already paid for it. It's already been paid for. So receive it, and then freely you receive, and guess what now you can do? You can freely give it. See, so many times we're like, I can't forgive them. Yeah, because you're bankrupt. Those that have been forgiven much, love much. Yes. How do you obey God? You love Him. Yes. See, so many times, like, it's so hard to obey God. No, the issue is not obedience. The issue is love. When you are loved, you have the fuel to obey. See, if you read in the context, like the full context in John, you know, 14, 15, 16, it says, if you love me, you'll obey me. It's actually, so hear me this. So we think, and I used to think this, okay, God, I'm going to show you how much I love you by obeying you. You missed it. How can you love God? How can you love God? You can't until you're first loved by God. See, you can't love God until you have been loved by Him. He loves you first. So when you're loved by God, now you can obey God and thus show that you love Him. See, receiving His love first is the power. When you receive the Holy Spirit, when you're filled up with His grace, what is that? It's His love. It's His love. It's His gift He gives you. So many times we're trying to live this Christian life without the virtue, without the power, without the ingredients. And thus, if we try to obey God without knowing we're loved by God, what we produce is religion and self-righteousness. See, what else can I do after receiving His love, right? I have to live in a manner worthy of the love I've received. It's amazing. I'm going to talk about this next week. It's going to be absolutely amazing. First time I've really preached on this, coming next week. I didn't even give the preview to the other services, but my wife modeled this 2 weeks ago. I was busy and wasn't maybe as the sweet as I usually am. And distracted, and she goes, I'm going to absorb that. I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm just going to absorb it. I'm like, okay, like what did I do wrong? Just absorbing it. I'm like, cool. And then a little bit later, she goes, I'm just absorbing it some more. Man. You know, as she kept doing that, I loved her. It just won me over. It wasn't even hours. It was within, maybe an hour, maybe two. I'm telling you, it was just like, I was busy, I was distracted, and she just keeps absorbing. What it meant was she didn't change the way she responded to me. She didn't react to my shortness. She didn't react to my lack of sweetness. But she absorbed it, and she just chose to be sweet. It didn't take long. It didn't take long. I was just like, hey, forgive me. Come here. Right? Church, this is what it means to be Christ-like. Jesus absorbed our sin. Guess what? It's going to take some courage to do that. Why? Because they might do it some more. And you might open yourself up for more pain and be vulnerable. But that's next week's message. But it's going to be powerful. You don't want to miss it. Number two, because God has a plan for you. Commit your, so did I give you the scripture, Proverbs 16, 3? Did I give you point two yet? Maybe? Okay. Okay, the second reason you should be encouraged today is because God has a plan for you. He has a plan and a purpose for you. Proverbs 16, 3 says, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. The Lord works everything to its proper end, even the wicked for the day of disaster. Number three, third reason you should be encouraged today is because Jesus has overcome the world. Jesus has overcome the world. John 16, 33, write this down. You should know this verse. You should know this verse. You should be reminded of this verse because every day we wake up to a broken world, a problem full of all kinds of problems. You know, every day I wake up to so many problems. It can be overwhelming. I mean, look around this room. Look at all the problems. See, I cannot have empathy or sympathy for all of the problems that I see. I am not God. I cannot do that. Nor should you. You're not called to. God has called us to have compassion. Jesus, it said he was moved with compassion. It was compassion. It was love. It was love that motivated him. It wasn't sympathy or this empathy. It was compassion. It was, I care about you. I care about these problems. But I can't enter into those problems. I can't enter into those. I am not God. You are not God. And I don't think you've been called to do that. Regularly, there's things unknown I'm praying for, I'm believing God, and I just trust him. And every prayer request, I'm believing God, I'm standing on, I'm trusting him. But I can't carry that. I can't carry the prayer requests of this church. I wasn't created to, I wasn't meant to. But what I was called to do is pray. Pray for those, give them to Jesus. Jesus said, cast your cares on me. This is what we do in prayer. We believe and receive and we give it to him. And we say, thank you, God, you've got that. And if the Holy Spirit leads me to intercede for that person in a specific time, it's for a reason because something's going on at that moment and he wants my prayers to enter into the battle. But I'm not going to worry about it. The moment I get a request, I mean, I feel it. I have compassion. I pray. Sometimes I cry. But then I move on. I give it to him and I pray with my heart, with my love that I've received from the Father. And I got to believe and trust him. But here's the thing. Jesus said, in this life, you will have problems. So stop wanting a life without problems. Jesus is not going to give you that life. You got to settle that. Otherwise, you'll be so discouraged. You'll be so discouraged because you'll wake up and there's more problems. Yes, he said there would be. But you want to ignore that, don't you? Your flesh, come on, can we get real? Don't you want to just wake up and they're like, there's going to be zero problems today? I mean, who doesn't want that in their flesh? But after a while of no problems, you'll go, wait a second, my life has no significance. What am I here for? What am I here for if it wasn't to make this world a better place? What am I here for if it's not to bring heaven to earth? What am I here for if it's not to advance the kingdom of God? You have no significance. See, this is why at first, when you're just trying to meet your needs, like, significance doesn't really matter that much. It's like, I just need my needs met. That's my significance, right? But the moment now your needs are met, you got money in the bank, and hey, it's cool, man. I got all the things I want on my needs. I got shelter. All of a sudden, now it kicks into, wait a second. Do I have any significance? Do I have purpose? Do you know where the Purpose-Driven Life book was written? Orange County, California. One of the wealthiest counties in the world. Do you think it met a need in that county? They had all the stuff you could imagine, yet they had no purpose. They had no significance. Church, the purpose we're here for is to meet problems, to get inventions, to find the cure to cancer, to meet needs, to care for people. Fill in the blank. You have a purpose, and it's not to be selfish. It's to be selfless. It's to choose love. So be encouraged, because God, Jesus has overcome. He says, for in this unbelieving world you will experience trouble and sorrows, but you must be courageous. Do you hear this? For in this unbelieving world you will experience trouble and sorrows, but you must be courageous. For I have conquered the world. That's good news. Number four, because nothing can separate us from God's love. I'm going to read this little lengthy passage, but it's the word of God, and it's worth it, and you need to hear it. Paul writes, Romans chapter 8, verse 31, so what does all this mean? If God has determined to stand with us, tell me, who then could ever stand against us? For God has proved his love by giving us his greatest treasure, the gift of his Son. And since God freely offered him up as a sacrifice for us all, he certainly won't withhold from us anything else he has to give. You hear that? Who then would dare to accuse those who God has chosen in love to be his? God himself is the judge who has issued his final verdict over them. Not guilty. Come on, say that. Not guilty. Who then is left to condemn us? Certainly not Jesus, the anointed one, for he gave his life for us. And even more than that, he has conquered death and is now risen, exalted, enthroned by God at the right hand. So how could it be possible? How could he possibly condemn us, since he is continually praying for our triumph? Pause. You can't miss this. Now, some of you get encouraged because you find out I prayed for you. And I hope you do get encouraged. And I hope you know that when I prayed for you, I believed. And by the grace of God, I will not pray until I believe what I'm praying. Sometimes I have to re-pray because I really didn't believe when I just prayed. And I'll do it again. But that's my commitment. That's my commitment, is that when I pray, I'm going to believe. I think that's our responsibility, is just to believe when we pray. Okay, and so you go, well, Pastor, that's so awesome to know you're praying for me. That's cool. I appreciate that. You're encouraged by that. But get this. You may miss this. I know I have. This revelation, I literally almost sat down in second service and just was like, let's just sit in this one right now. It says Jesus continually, nonstop, is praying for you. Just say that. Just say, Jesus is praying for me. He never stops praying for me. Do you remember when Jesus walked the earth, that when he prayed, what happened? His prayers were answered. Jesus never stops praying for you and me. If you get this revelation, you will never have any shortage of courage. Jesus. Jesus is praying for us right now. When you're in that dark place and depression and fear are all around you and you don't feel anything, know this, remember this, church. Jesus is praying for you. When you're being tempted to give in to the lust of your eyes, the lust of your the flesh, your pride, remember this. He's praying right now in that moment for you to say, turn the channel. Turn off the computer. He's praying. He's interceding for you. I mean, that could have been it. That could have been the whole message. If you get this revelation, if there's anything you remember today, remember this. Jesus doesn't stop praying for you. Like, I don't know that I fully believe that or fully understand that. I mean, I do, but I don't really know if I understand the ramifications of that. Okay, Jesus is praying for me. So whatever I'm doing that he's called me to do, guess what? It's going to happen. It's going to be victorious. I'm going to make it. Because Jesus is praying for me. And he's not a respecter of persons. He's praying for every one of his sons and daughters. He's praying for us, church. He's praying for us. He's praying for you. He's praying for you. He's praying for you. Don't quit. Wait, hold on. You can endure. Whatever momentary suffering you're facing right now, he's praying for you. Jesus is praying for you. Who could ever divorce us from the endless love of God's anointed one? Absolutely no one. For nothing in the universe has the power to diminish his love toward us. Troubles, pressures, problems are unable to come between us and heaven's love. What about persecutions, dangers, and death threats? No, for they are all impotent to hinder the omnipotent love, even though it is written, all day long we face death threats for your sake. God, we are considered to be nothing more than sheep to be slaughtered. Yet, even in the midst of all these things, we triumph over them all. For God has made us to be more than conquerors. He has demonstrated his love in this glorious victory over everything. So now I will live with confidence. Come on, I will live with confidence. You can live with confidence that there is nothing in the universe that has the power to separate us from God's love. I am convinced that his love will triumph over death, life's problems, fallen angels, dark rulers in the heavens. There is nothing in our present or future circumstances that can weaken his love. There is no power above us or beneath us, no power that could ever be found in the universe that can distance us from God's passionate love, which is lavished upon us through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Anointed One. Number five, be encouraged today because God Himself will strengthen us. Be encouraged because God Himself will strengthen us, not just help us, but strengthen us. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. And then after your brief suffering, the God of all loving grace, who has called you to share in his eternal glory in Christ, will personally and powerfully restore you and make you stronger than ever. Yes, he will set you firmly in place and build you up. See, God doesn't just come and help us. Like a good spotter, a good trainer, right? When you're in a heavy weight, you got weights, you know, and you're pushing yourself, you're putting this heavy weight on. He doesn't just come and, like, as you go down, like, help you up. God steps inside of you so that when you get under the weight, it's easy. See, God's burden is light, his yoke is easy. But it's a paradox, because the weight that you're lifting is way more than you can handle. But you're not to handle it in your own strength. It's the grace of God. Let me help you with this point, and I have to make it often here, but it's important. A lot of people think God won't give me more than I can handle. That's not true. I'm sorry, it's not true. He always, always gives you more than you can handle. You've heard it said. A lot of Christians have said it, people of the world, oh, God will never give you more than you can handle. It's not true. I'm sorry. Show me that in the Bible. It's not. What the Bible says is God will not let us be tempted beyond what we can handle. He always gives us more than we can handle. This is why we need him and his grace. If we could handle it, we wouldn't need him. We can't handle it. But with him living in us and through us, he strengthens us and makes us stronger. So, our modern day hero, not super modern, but World War II, as I close, Desmond Doss, born in 1919, Virginia, received the Medal of Honor. Desmond Doss grew up in a Seventh-day Adventist church. He believed killing somebody else was sin. He couldn't do it, even in war. But he believed in the cause of fighting the Nazis and the Japanese. He believed in that evil and doing something, and so he enlisted or was drafted, either one. He believed in the cause, and he let his convictions be known, but he found himself in an infantry group that he was being trained to shoot, but he said, I can't do that. And so he's ridiculed by the sergeant. He was made fun of and persecuted for that. And then all the other soldiers made fun of him. In fact, beat him up several times. But you know, he just absorbed it. And he just loved them anyway. And he stood firm in his conviction. Church, if you're going to be able to live up to your convictions, you're going to need some courage. Desmond had courage. He said, no, I'm not caving. I will go and do my part against this evil, but I will not kill anybody. I will not shoot anybody. On one of their training runs, an 8-mile training run, he's carrying a pack of medical supplies, and the feet of the soldiers that had beaten him, had kicked him, he's tending to their feet that have blisters. He's literally taking care of the feet of those who kicked him, spit on him. Look like Jesus, guys? Sound like Jesus? He goes on to Guam, where he rescues several people's lives as the Americans recovered the island of Guam. First attacks, he's got no weapons. He's going in, bullets flying over the head, crawling, saving people, taking care of people. And he finds himself in another battle where the movie Hacksaw Ridge came from. And there was this fortified position the Japanese had, and they were massacring the American soldiers. Mel Gibson produced a movie, some of you may have seen it, pretty intense. He goes after wounded soldier after wounded soldier. After everyone, and after rescuing one out of this firefight, and understand the Japanese would single out medics, even though it was against the Geneva Convention. They would look, and if you'd see medic, they would target you. So many medics just took it off, going, we're going to be singled out. After everyone he saved, he prayed this prayer. He said, God, let me save one more. And he'd go back, get another one. Days of rescuing people. Over 75 people he rescued. He himself was shot several times, stepped on a grenade, shot in his arm. As he's on the stretcher being carried back, he goes, "No, put me down. He needs the stretcher more than me." Powerful. No, even as we recognize this weekend those that had fallen, who had given their life. Know this, church. It's a true statement. Freedom's not free. And the ultimate price was paid for our freedom in Jesus. Yes, we recognize those that gave their lives for our freedom. Look, we got a lot of challenges in our country, and we got to work on those. Those are problems we're called to. Stop joining others and saying, "God, why aren't you doing anything about this?" God's looking to us going, "Why aren't you doing something about this?" But with the freedom that we have, even in this country, what are we doing with it? Can I challenge you? Can I challenge us, church? Because that's just who we are, Bethel. We're not a consumer church. If you just come here to get a nice little meal, you know, and hear a nice message, this is not that church. God has called us to be a high-impact church, which means we got to go out and do something. We got to make this world better. Amen? I know you love that. That's why you're here. But if you're new and you're hearing it, that's who we are, unashamed. We want to make a difference. And we need to be spurred and encouraged to live heroically. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, for your word. We thank you that you gave your life for us. And Lord, we've got to live. We've got to live in a way that's worthy of someone who's given their life for us. Lord, we can't do it without you. We need you. You know, today, I know you're facing lots of challenges. We all are. But today you'd say, "Pastor, I need some more courage. I need some courage today. I need some strength, some of God's virtuous courage to fill me today to keep fighting the good fight of faith." You know, if that's you today and you'd say, "I do, I need some courage, I need some prayer," would you lift up your hand? Because I want to pray for you. Right now, all over this place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, I thank you. Whew. Come on, world changers. Come on, heroes. You're a hero. It's courageous to lift up your hand to say, "I need God. I need him. I need him." Church, let's pray this together. Say, "Jesus, I need you. Oh, how I need you. Forgive me for giving into fear, for my sin, for my unbelief, for my discouragement. Today, I receive your love and your forgiveness. I receive courage and strength, your power. I receive it. I am encouraged. I am encouraged. I am loved. In Jesus' name, amen."
Thank you for listening to this message from Bethel Church. If you'd like to connect with us, download our app using the keywords Bethel Chandler or visit us online at BethelChandler.com.